Go in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57, if you'll go there. And we are going to ask God to help us here. I'm going to begin speaking on a subject today that I feel like is that God has laid on my heart for the church. And it's Isaiah 57 and verse 15. We're going to read that one verse here in just a few moments. Before we get there, I'm just going to do a little introduction here. But I'm going to be speaking to you tonight, today and tonight, Lord willing, if God allows. We're going to be talking about this subject called revival. Amen. Has anybody ever heard what a revival is? Amen. Anybody know what a revival is? You've heard of it before. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been in a revival? Have you ever been in a revival? How about that? Well, what if I was to tell you that a revival is not a date on a calendar? Amen. I'm not talking. What if I told you that a revival had nothing to do with an evangelist? What if I told you the revival was something that it was undeniable that it was so powerful that it changed whole entire churches, families, and communities? And I would ask you again, have you really been in a revival? Not on the scale. I believe all of us could agree. We haven't been in a revival on the scale that we would like to see. Now, I'm going to speak on revival this morning, and I'm with the Lord's help deal with a few things. I'm going to open up and say this. I am not an expert on revival. Amen. I don't claim to be somebody that has been in the greatest revival. I haven't been there. I'm still seeking and asking God to pour His Spirit out on this church and the magnitude that I would love to see. I've been in some great moves of God over the years. I'm sure many of you could probably say, look, I've been in a good service here. I've been in a good service there. I'm sure many of us could say that. But I would tell you today, I have witnessed here and there different moves of God, but I'm still seeking God for a real, undeniable outpouring of His Spirit that really changes people. And I would be discouraged if I felt that we had climaxed already in Abundant Life Tabernacle. I would say that. If I feel like that Abundant Life Tabernacle has reached its full potential, I'd resign this church. Because I want to see more than what we're seeing. Amen. But I have this great hope, and I'm sure everybody that's a Christian, you have this great hope that it's still in front of us. Amen. We're not there yet, church. Amen. I'm going to say it again. We have not reached it yet. I don't care what your mindset may be on that. We're not there yet. We're still looking and praying and asking God for revival. I'm going to say this as well. If we're going to experience revival, we've got to talk about it. Hear me. If we're going to experience revival, we have got to talk about it. We have got to discuss it. We have got to preach it. We have got to pray for it. Amen. Hear me. We're not going to have revival if you do not pray for it. You're not going to have revival if you do not seek for it. We're not going to have revival if we do not hope for it and preach about it. We speak of heaven often. I often hear in churches we speak of heaven often, but we've never seen it yet. But why do we still talk about it? Why do we still speak about it? Because we know that it's real, and we know one day that we are going to experience it. So the same thing with revival day. Hear me. We're not there yet, but we're speaking about it and preaching about it with hope that one day, and I believe it could be in the very near future, it's very possible that we step into the move of God. And guess what? Revival will last more than a week. Oh my, I hope this ain't new revelation to anybody. Revival is going to last more than a week. You know what? The Azusa Street lasted years before it disassembled. And at the end of that, guess what? Pentecost had been published almost around the world. And guess what? It had been published on the East Coast. The reason we have the Church of God, Assemblies of God, PH, all these, and the independent movement is because there was a real revival. Amen. So I want to talk about this today. And I want to talk about what revival is and how. And Lord, I asked the Lord in preparing for this, Lord, how can I describe revival? And thankfully in the Bible, I'm not alone on this, thankfully there are several scriptures that show us the heart of God in revival. It shows us the heart of God. And please let me have your attention just next for the next few moments here. It's Isaiah 57 and 15. I'm going to read this verse to you. And I just want you to pay attention as it is read. It says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high high in the holy place. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit to revive. Notice that. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I want you to notice on the first part of this verse, and this is what we're going to focus on this morning. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place. I want you to notice that today. Because the first aspect of revival that I want to reveal to you as a church this morning, and we'll talk about the second one tonight. The first one is this morning. I want you to get this. When we are seeking for revival, and what revival is number one, I want you to get this and follow this term because I'm going to use it a whole lot. Revival is when we are reaching high. I want you to follow that. Revival is when we are reaching upward, when we are reaching high as we can reach spiritually. When I say that, you've got to get this context in your mind. When I say that revival is reaching high, I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm not talking about a certain emotional high where everybody says, look, I love the music. Look, I love the preacher. Look, I love the carpet. Look, I love the pews. That's got nothing to do with revival. It's nothing to do with these lights here in the sanctuary. It's nothing to do with this golden cross behind me. It's nothing to do with this red carpet. And guess what? It's nothing to do with the suit that you have on this morning. Revival has nothing to do with a structure. My friends, hear me that today. I want you to get this because some people, you'd be surprised. They're more worried about the color of the carpet than they are having a visitation with God. Come on now. They're more worried about pews and they're more worried about lights and all these things. Look, all those things are good. Thank God for facilities and things that God gives us. And I believe we should have the best looking for God. I'm not opposed to that. But guess what, my friends? If we're out in the middle of a jungle and there's not a chandelier and there's no electricity, you can have revival. If we did not have heating and air, if we did not have a piano, if we did not have any of these things, you can still have revival if you prepare your heart and if you reach high. Amen. You read about the early church, early in our century here. When you study about the great Pentecostal movement. They had these old things called bulrush meetings is what they called them. They were outside and they would take branches off of trees and they would make a canopy type thing. And there they would have church out in the middle of nowhere. It'd be dark sometimes. Mosquitoes. I mean, sometimes it would be hot. Sometimes it would be cold. But they would be out there. And my, they had a move of God. It was nothing to do with the surroundings. So we have to understand this. If it's nothing to do with structure, if it's nothing to do with buildings, Brother Derek, what is revival? What do you mean reaching high? Notice this. When I say reaching high, it's when you, I want you to focus on you today. Please let me have your attention. When you as an individual follow me, it's when you as an individual are looking for something higher in your Christian experience. It's when you are looking for something higher in your Christian experience. I often said this, and I want you to get this in your mind. There is an indictment against the Pentecostal church. I've heard saints for years get up and say this, I thank God I am saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and they sit down and they're just as dead as they were yesterday. That's not revival. Being saved, being sanctified, and being filled with the Holy Ghost is not the climax of revival. It is just the very primary part of it. That is the foundation of it. That is the beginning of it. That is the front porch of it. You ain't even walked through the door yet until you've experienced the overwhelming, saturating presence of the Holy Ghost. So let me go ahead and move everyone in this room right now out of your comfort zone, out of that place where you say, look, Brother Derek, I think I reached just about as high as I can get as a Christian. My word, get off your white horse right here and listen, because I almost said horse, but I about described some people. Amen. Hear me today. We've got to know that there's something more for us as believers. Amen. God has not saved us just to occupy buildings. He saved us to turn the world upside down. How do you do that, Brother Derek? We've got to have revival. You have yet to reach the climax. I haven't and you haven't of what God has in store for His people who have a hungry and a thirsty heart for the things of God. We've got to realize, my friend, we get so satisfied and we brag just about the foundation. But I'm telling you, as 1 Corinthians 3 shows us, there's still precious jewels and stones. We've got to get this thing up off the floor and get going spiritually. Revival is when you're looking for for something higher in our Christian experience. If it was just salvation, you would live your whole life being a historian. Well, God touched me 20 years ago, and it was good. How good. Look, praise God for that. How many would say God's good the day you got saved? God's good now. Amen. I got sanctified 40 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Good. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm glad that there's a purifying work in your life. I'm glad about that. Guess what, my friend? But if that's all you've gotten to, guess what? It's a shame in your life. It'd be a shame in my life. It'd be a, you know what? Something's wrong there. If I could look here today and say, oh, I received the Holy Ghost 8 years ago and nothing ever changed. And I'm still, guess what? I'm living and I'm holding on till the rapture comes because, you know, there's judgment is imminent. And guess what? If that's all you've gotten to, you're still on the front porch, my brothers and sisters. No, no, no. What about we read in the Bible where revival is something that is real. It is something that is a force. It is something that is driving. Let's not get excited about being on the front porch. Quit admiring the front door. Won't you turn the handle, walk in and look at the furnishings of Pentecost and know, look, there's more to this. That is what revival is. This, no, we have yet to reach the place that we need to yet. There has to be. Revival begins when there is an awesome sense of dissatisfaction with yourself. Oh my, hear me. It's when you are not satisfied with where you are spiritually. My friend, I said it last week. You take away church attendance. You take away 90% of what people do as a Christian because that's about it. They do 10%. They may visit somebody every now and then. They may send out a Christmas card and they may make a potluck or a pot for the potluck occasionally. That's not revival. Revival is not a service. Revival is not a structure. Revival is not a hot dog supper. Revival is not an ice cream social. We've got those and the worldly church in America don't mean to have a revival. It's not an audience. It's not a group of people. It's when there are hearts that are saying, look, I am dissatisfied with the level that I am at spiritually. If God was attracted to crowds, He'd fall on the Super Bowl. There's a lot of people there. Why ain't He there? Why is it full of the heathens of this world? Because I'm telling you, God's not at 100 miles of that thing. He's looking for a heart that's broken. He's looking for a heart that's contrite. He's looking for believers. I didn't say sinners. You better hear me here. He's looking for believers that are dissatisfied with the status quo. Guess what? We get so satisfied with our natural Christianity. I want to see the supernatural part of Christianity. We get satisfied with talking about, look, the blood on the doorpost. But God, take us to the Red Sea. And let us see something opened up. Show us the water coming out the rock. Show us the manna coming down from heaven. Show us the daily bread. You've got to get to a place, and that is the very starting point of a revival. It is a desire for a higher experience and something better that is the status quo. Something better than the norm. I've been in churches before, and I'm not saying here. Like I said, the shoe wear and your shoe fits, put it on and wear it and take it for a walk. You know, you get a blister, you put a better shoe on. It's called the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hear me. It's when people... I've been to a church before. And it was one of those churches that it's my four and no more. You ever heard that? Nobody else was going to heaven. And they have reached a climax. And I looked around at 8 people. And I'm telling you, and most of them were 60 plus. And I thought to myself, my word, if this is the climax of Pentecost, this is disgusting. Oh my, they talk about, oh, we want to see them saved, Brother Derek. And yet they don't do anything. They're just as dead. They're just as lifeless. I'm like a wooden Indian when you're preaching. Amen. If you worship, I mean, you tell them to raise their hands and they sit there and they're, oh, you ain't going to tell me what to do. I'll tell you, that's a mentality. The status quo must be defeated. My friend, it ain't about taking orders from Derek Jones. It's about giving the lofty one praise. It's not saying, Brother Derek, tell me raise. No, it's not about that. It's about giving the awesome presence and magnifying a name that's above every name. That's why preachers say sometimes, let's worship Him. It ain't because, no, it's because of this. It's that we want to give Him the praise. We want to create an atmosphere where He'll come down. He'll come down on the wings of worship. He'll come down on the wings of reverence. He'll come down on the wings of broken hearts. He'll come down here. He'll show Himself to us, my friend. And revival begins with that awesome sense of dissatisfaction with yourself. Oh man, there's been times in my life I thought I did pretty good spiritually. I'd get down to pray And I realized, man, there's a lot I need to do. I told them in the little evangelist meeting we had that one night. And you know, you want everybody to be a part, but you can't help everything. Amen. But, you know, I told him, I remember at times praying in the little 500 square foot apartment that we lived in, me and my wife. I'd pray in that little side room there. I said, I'd get to feeling such so awful, and not like a sinful awfulness, but I'd begin to feel such a brokenness for the world and for the lost. I said, I felt like getting up and going preaching on the streets, but I talked myself out of it. By the time I got in the room and go to the door, I said, Brother Daniel, you think you're crazy. And I'd go back to praying. And you know what that is? It's a wrestling within myself to say, look, I cannot sit here any longer. I cannot keep going to church, giving in the offering, and act like heaven and the triune Godhead. I'm shouting in heaven because I've done something. No, my friend. He's looking for somebody he can pour himself on. Somebody that he can saturate with. But in order to do that, you've got to be dissatisfied. If you do not have a dissatisfaction with yourself, you think you are what you need to be, you think you're where you need to be 100%, you will not crave revival, because why would you need it? If you're not dissatisfied, if you're not hungry, you're not going to seek for nothing to eat. If you're not thirsty, you're not going to seek the Spirit. If you're not dissatisfied, my friend, you're going to sit there and you're going to think everything's all right because I'm just as far as I'm going to go, and we're going to hang on till we get out of here. That's so disgusting in the nostrils of God. That's like incense burning. He says, quit burning it. Quit bringing me your blind sacrifices. Quit bringing me your lame animals. He told them in the book of Malachi, bring me your best. Bring me your best. My friend, brothers and sisters, God has His best for you, but you've got to want it. Now we look at this. How many would say we need revival? By raise of hands. Can we do that? It's about 6 that don't believe it. It's not going to come on that. But brother, we've got to do more than that. How many wants revival? Please, that's what I'm trying to say. You say, Brother Decker, I'm trying to get you to understand there's got to be this breaking up of the fallow ground. We need revival individually. We need revival corporately. We need revival as a church. We need revival nationally across the land. And guess what? We ought to feel dissatisfied with the way that things are. I'm not content with America right now. Amen. You know what? I want to see more in my own home. I tell my wife all the time. I'm going to bring my daughter up in a dead mess. No wonder they run to the world. No wonder they don't know anything about seeking the will of God. Where is God at? Where is His presence? Where is His glory at? We read in the Bible, we often say, oh God, we want Your glory. You know what that word glory in the Bible means? It means a weight in a good sense. It is like a presence. It is like something that is resting on us. That is what revival is. It's when you can feel His undeniable presence in a room and in your life and in your home. Have you ever felt the presence of God before? That you felt it just there? I've been in some services before, and I'm sure you have. I'm not saying I know, I believe this. I believe we all maybe know what I'm talking about. You know, the old-timers used to say, and some old saint, old Pentecostal people I've talked to before that were there, I mean they've been around since some of the original outpourings. They said there's been times, they've been in services, it was so real, it was so tangible. Sinners were just running to the altars. They said it was almost like you could see a haze in the room because people were just worshiping. It sounded like a freight train come through the building at times as people would erupt in just spontaneous reverence, falling on their faces. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we need revival. But we have to have that first. We've got to be dissatisfied. Anybody ever heard of Charles Finney before? Charles Finney, who wrote a book called Revival Lectures. I may have mentioned that before. He was a man that in the 1800s, he was a lawyer that got saved. And old Charles Finney, when he got saved, in his first day, now you read it yourself, and it was either the first day or first 2 days, he's had 24 converts. In just a few days, he was a man that was so passionate. He was a man that was so mad about revival that he didn't know, it didn't matter who you were. When he came into a town, the bartenders would get mad at him. They would even vote to keep him out of town, because when he would preach, a lot of the bartender's wives would get saved. They would get so full of the Holy Ghost that they would end up praying a revival into the homes, and the bartenders would get saved, and they would shut down the entertainment of the city. He would go and pray, and they had these men and women that were so passionate for revival. But this was one of his favorite verses of Scripture. Now, when I read this, I'm going to preach this. Before you complain against this and saying, I don't know about that, we're taking advice from somebody that saw revival. You hear me? I don't get too entertained. If somebody comes to me that's not a mechanic, say they're a butcher. Say, look, something's going on with my engine. Guess what? He's never worked on a car before. He's going to come over there. It's nothing to do with prime rib. You know what I'm saying? It's an engine. He can't tell me nothing about my car. I get frustrated. You know what's happening in America? We got a bunch of dead preachers that's never experienced moves of the Holy Ghost, who's never seen revival, trying to preach about it. Come on. They want to tell you all about it, but they ain't got a clue. We have seen it. Our Pentecostal churches are eat up with this mentality. I'm telling you, I'm not an expert on this, but I'm not dumb to where I can't read about people that know a little something, that's seen people get saved by thousands and thousands. This is what he said. He loved Hosea chapter 10 and 12, where it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap according to kindness, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek Yahweh until He comes and reigns. Righteousness on you. He loved this verse of Scripture that said, break up your fallow ground. And today I'm going to say, I want to say it 10 times before I describe it. Break up your fallow ground, believer. Break up your fallow ground, brother. Break up your fallow ground, sister. Break up your fallow ground, abundant life. You say, Brother Derek, what did he mean by that? Fallow ground. It is a ground that had become hardened. It had become calloused and coarse through lack of rainfall and lack of farming over the years. And that is our church world today. Calloused and hard to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost deals with somebody. I've got to get milk. I've got to do this. I've got to worry about tomorrow. I've got to work tomorrow. I have a revival. Hold up. Can we have a 6-week notice? So we can get our schedules adjusted to your revival, Brother Derek. When I was younger, it didn't matter. When the pastor had revival, I didn't care what I was involved in. Like I said, I've told it before. My old ball coach got mad at my mom because we had revival. She come pick me up at T-ball practice. He done messed up and told Mama, ball's more important than church. I ain't never played T-ball again. What I'm saying is this. She said, didn't matter. It was revival. It's not about trying to find a structure and a time to fit your convenience. What about God? What about His time? What about His Spirit? What about His ability? We've got to make room. Guess what? We don't even have room for revival. We have. I'm trying to preach to me and you, all of us. We're busy. You know we are. We have the busiest lives right now than we've ever lived. I read something yesterday about the increase of technology. Our attention spans are so depleted. I mean, and I realized it in my generation. What is that? What is adding without a calculator? That's just small things. You know, what about our lack of reading? All that's not hindering revival, but our attention spans. I forgot it's close to a gnat. It's something. They did a study. We're down there. Our attention spans are the same attention spans as some animals, my friend. No, God has made us that we can look at a God that created us and say, God, if it takes a week, if it takes two, if it takes an hour in a prayer closet, if it takes fasting, God, take it all from me. Strip me of all my pleasures. Strip me of all my routines. God, break up this fallow ground that has not seen the rain, who has not been farmed over years. Hear me today, that is what fallow ground is. It is such as ground that does not know what rain is. You know, old Elisha said, Lord, he looked to Elijah, he said, ask you anything you want, is what Elijah told Elisha. He said, what I need, I want a double portion. I said before, it'd take a double portion nowadays. Yes, sir. We are dealing with the most hardened and bored church people in the world. And I'm not an actor. It's not my job to get up here and entertain, and neither is none of ours. What I'm trying to get is this. We've got to get focused on Him. We come to church not for a puppet show. It's all right to do this at VBS, what I'm saying. But we come here to worship Him.
That is why we're here, and we've got to focus on Him. Fallow ground is like concrete. It is rock hard. If there's ever going to be any fruit to come from it, the ground first of all needs to be broken up so that the farmer uses a pick or a plow or some other instrument to break it up. It is a very painstaking exercise. Preaching nowadays in a sermon-proof generation is very painstaking. Hear me. I'm telling you, brothers, I've been in churches and preached where you know you're preaching the mind of God. And you got four picking their nose, two asleep, and another clipping their fingernails. And you say, Brother Derek, what are you? I'm saying we're depleted spiritually. And if you're not dissatisfied with that, you will not be a part of a revival. We've abandoned the prayer meetings. And I'm not talking about just once a month. I'm talking about prayer meetings that last an hour. I'm talking about wrestling with God. I'm talking about prevailing with heaven. I'm talking about, you say, Brother Derek, these are strange things to me. I hope it's not. We look at this, I tell you, Charles Finney would say, sit down. And he would say, this is what Charles Finney would say. He would say, everybody that's ever going to be a part of revival needs to sit down, add up your mistakes and sins, if there be of omission or commission, and weep over them. That is what breaking up fallow ground is. We often talk about, I hadn't committed a sin. I hadn't committed anything. Have you omitted anything? Hear me. Have you omitted anything? We're talking about a holy God. Is there anything in your life? I'm not saying you have. You answer the question yourself. Have you omitted anything? Have you not sought God like you should? Are you at the same place you were 20 years ago? Have we seen any fruit? My friend, what I'm saying is, there's got to be that dissatisfaction. There's got to be that pounding. There's got to be that breaking of fallow ground where you're saying, look, I'm not content with this. You say, no, Lord, give me fruit lest I die. Let me have something in my life. It is the cry of a barren womb. You remember reading the Old Testament about Hannah that gave birth to Samuel? You remember what her prayer was? I want children, Lord. I'm travailing, God, it's not right. I want children. I'm telling you, the church is not going to see revival until it travails over an empty womb. It is until it travails over the lack of fruit. My friend, I'm telling you, this is a pastor preaching on himself. We've got to travail. We've got to pray. We've got to have a burden. And my friend, if you overlook this message this morning and say, just call, I can't wait to get out of here. Guess what? That's between you and the Holy Ghost. It's not my job to make you do anything. It's my job to preach the Word of God faithfully, with or without an amen, with or without a crowd. I've got to preach it like it is. We need revival, but you've got to be dissatisfied with self. Guess what? Derek Jones is not satisfied with himself. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I've got nothing to say about Him. I'm satisfied to the day I went down the altar and I got saved. I've got nothing to argue about salvation. It's wonderful. I've got nothing to argue about the dealings of the Holy Ghost and the conviction and the chastening. It's wonderful. I've got nothing to say bad about the Holy Ghost. But guess what? I do look at myself and say, my Lord, I want to see more. My Lord, I've got to go further. My Lord, I need to do this. Guess what, my friend? It's breaking up hollow ground. So number one, it's reaching high for a higher experience. But number two, my last point this morning is this. I don't know how long it'll take to get through it. But not only is it reaching high for a higher experience, but it's reaching high for God. Hear me today. I want this to get in your mind. God wants us to have a desire for Him. Some people have more desire for the church than they do Jesus. Come on. Some people have more desire. You change one thing about a church and they'll chop your head off. You preach about the blood of Jesus and they'll doze off. Problems. Red flags. We've got to have revival. It is a love for Jesus. It's a love for God. It's a desire for Him. Revival is when God comes. I know that God is already with us in that sense. God is omnipresent. The Holy Ghost came at Pentecost, but we're not talking about that type of a coming. Revival is a special manifestation of God's presence and God's power. It's on another level, in another realm, in another dimension where God comes down in mighty power, my friend. And hear me today, my friend. We need that special visitation. We need it. You need it. But I wrestle and I cry and I beat my head on a pew. God, I know that we need it. But how do you make them want it? Brother, I'm going to talk to you from my heart. I'm telling you, up here trying to preach about revival and others, I'm not just saying here, but in America, people are sermon proof. You've got to sit here and you've got to be an entertainer to get interest in revival. It's not about the lighting, church. If I had strobe lights up here, you'd probably pack the building, not you, but people would pack the building out and say, wow, that's great. That's not revival. Hear me today. We've got to understand, when God comes, it's when we want Him. It's a special manifestation. Our desire for revival is ultimately a desire for God. If you do not have a desire for God, you will not have a desire for revival. They go hand in hand. The authenticity of our desire, hear me, the authenticity of our desire for revival is only relative to our desire for Him. It's when we want God. You know, a lot of people really don't want revival. You know what? I believe that some people don't want to be healed, because then they'd lose their check. Hear me. Dependent on systems and governments and man. There's some people would be mad if they got here. I'm not saying here, please don't take that wrong, but I've met people before, it's almost like they don't want to be healed because they know they would lose certain benefits. I'm telling you, revival, guess what? Everybody don't want revival. You know, revival may cut into your TV show. And ultimately, you probably cut it out your life. Come on now. This is just holiness preaching. You know, revival, some people get healed. But the book of Acts, some people died. Come on. You know, revival, some people went to jail. Revival, some people got killed. Revival is not always the pleasant that you're looking for. Revival is the raw dealing of the Holy Ghost. So what I say is, some people say, I want revival, but they don't want God. Because when God comes, His holiness is going to fill in every dark, secret crevice of your life. And not even things that are sinful. He's going to begin to touch on your comforts. He might ask you to push your plate back, mister and ma'am. Help us, Lord. Don't take my meal. Don't touch my food, Lord Jesus. I've had the Holy Ghost come after my coffee in the morning. What does it mean, Brother Derek? There's been times I said, you know what, I get up every morning, you know what, I'm going to go pray this morning. You say, was it a sin? No. But the Holy Ghost will touch our comforts. And I'm not saying, look, you can go to hell. I'm saying this. I'm saying the Holy Ghost wants you, and He wants you to want God. And anything in your life that is diminishing your love and your love for Christ and the things of God, He will touch on it. Now we look at this. I've got to move forward. I've already killed it, but it's all right. The Holy Ghost can revive. That's what revival is. It's reviving dead things. Your desire for revival has to be more than just wanting things to get better. I'm going to say this because in America, we have such a messed up mind in America that we're so afraid of suffering. I mean, oh Lord, the rapture's got to take place right now because America is in a bad shape. So is this part of, it's not the first time Christians have been through something. Their other disciples died and they weren't looking for an escape or help. Yes, they were talking about the rapture. Yes, they believed in all that. But guess what? America's not the New Jerusalem. Whew. We must become patriotic pagans sometimes. I've heard preaching before. They know more about Fox News than they do the Word of God. It's a problem. I'm looking a little higher than White House brothers and sisters. I always want things to get better for my country. Don't you take me wrong. Yes, I want a better president. Yes, I want a better country. Yes, I want revival in our nation. Yes, 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 yes. I want all of that. But guess what? Revival is not always things just getting better. Notice this. Who in their right mind would desire for things to get better in the world? Who wouldn't want their city to have less crime and their friends and family and neighbors to get saved? But that's not the question concerning revival. It's not do you want things to get better and who wants things to get better, but the question for revival is this: who wants God? I could take a heathen off the streets and say, would you like things to get better in your communities? Yes, where do I sign up? But you get them on the street and say, look, would you like a holy God to come down and deal with you and fill you full of the Spirit and use you to go witness and carry the gospel? Hey, whoa, whoa, you get my free time now. It's too much for me. That's what revival is. It's more than just things getting better. It's a longing for God. It's not who wants things to get better. No, who wants God is the ultimate question. If you don't want God, then you don't really want revival. Is that a little convicting? Yes, it is. Now we look at this. So longing for God, it's reality of His divine presence. Isaiah 64:1 says this, oh, that you would tear the heavens and that you would come down to the mountains and quake at your presence. And when the fire kindles the brushwood and causes the water to boil. Notice this, revival is when something happens. It is the manifest presence of God. I would not dare say we'll have revival and there's never nothing that happens. Somebody getting saved once a year is not revival. Somebody getting healed once a year is not revival. We almost in the holiness churches, Pentecost churches, our greatest desire is to see one person healed. And that's our climax. Yes, we want people to be healed. But that's not revival. It's not who do you want to be healed, but who wants God. My friend, a lot of times when it comes to revival, I won't be much longer. Just endure me a few more minutes. And notice this, Duncan Campbell, old revival, says this, everything is real in our church but God. Everything is real in our churches now, but God. Where is His presence? Where is it? Now we must say this, and I must throw this here. We have become content in America. Follow me right now, your attention right here, please. We've become content in our churches with substitutes to revival. Where instead of having and desiring a revival, we find a substitute that's a lot more convenient for us. So we live a religion of convenience. And we say, look, well, at least I'm going. At least I'm doing this. So I don't really, God, I know you see my faithfulness and I'm doing this. That's not revival. We have got so many substitutes to where we sit there and we just look to heaven. God, I came to church. You're good to us, Lord. This is revival. And that's not revival. Ooh, that's horrible. If your mentality is on that level, then you need a revival. You need a desire. Notice this. What revival? A lot of times, the desire of our Christian life is for something instead of someone. A lot of times we desire something. You've got to follow me here. It is an it instead of a him. Him is Jesus. Now, I jotted this down because I'm such a forgetful person. I'm going to ask you this question before we pray in just a few moments. What is your it in your life? And if you say you don't have one, then why aren't you having revival? There's an it in your life. I don't care how you want to slice it or dice it. You can re-term it if you like to. There is an it in your life that is standing between you and the full potential of God in your life. I feel the Holy Ghost to confirm that. There's an it in your life. Now, I'm going to touch it. I'm going to say a few things. All of us have to look at these things. What is it in your life? Is it an experience? Some people worship an experience more than do God. Is it a doctrine? Some people worship a doctrine more than do God. Could it be a specific type of church? Sometimes people have a certain design of church in their mind. Things just like it. Oh, that's like it. No. What is it in your mind? The it, what if that religious in your life? It could be revival itself. None of these things, notice this, none of these things substitute for God Himself. Not a church building, not a doctrine, and not some isolated experience. None of that can take place of God or the desire of God in your life. How silly would I be back here saying, look, I got saved. I'm going to worship my salvation experience. I'm going to worship it. I'm going to pet it. I'm going to polish it. I'm going to put it in a trophy case. And I'm going to take it with me everywhere. Hear me. What if I did that with sanctification? Here's my sanctification experience. God, I love you. Thank you for what you did. I'm going to polish this and I'm just going to keep it right here. What if I did that with the Holy Ghost? Look, I've got this pet experience. Guess what? I've got the Holy Ghost here. I got filled. And look, this is revival. No, I look at revival. Thank God for salvation, sanctification, the Holy Ghost. But revival is, God, I want you. That is revival. I don't know everybody's background here. You know, you have to almost become an FBI agent in churches nowadays because people are not as open as they used to. I don't know where you went to church when you were younger. I don't know which generation everybody was born in, but I know this, all of us are different. We would all agree to this fact. We're different. Do you know the way that when I went to church at Lighthouse Tabernacle in Edenton, it's completely different than the church here. You hear what I'm saying? Different music. Still sang hymns. Had more instruments. Had a different style of pastor. I'm the pastor, so that wouldn't count. Different song leader. Different everything. What if I came to Abundant Life Tabernacle and say, oh no, everything's got to be like Lighthouse. Everything. I worship that specific type of church, and if I don't get Abundant Life Tabernacle, just like Lighthouse Tabernacle was, we're not going to have revival. That's a lie. Abundant Life is Abundant Life Tabernacle. It's made up of different personalities. So what I say is this, Lord, if I come from Lighthouse Tabernacle in Tyner, North Carolina, if you came from a mountain church in Kentucky, if you come from a different country, or if you come from a different state, and you're used to this and you're used to that, let all that melt down. Oh, God, and guess what? It may be different, but I want you. Does anybody see what I'm saying? That's revival. Revival's not your preferences. I want God. A lot of times in church, we'll worship our preferences. And we get mad if our preference ain't instituted and everything. Guess what? That ain't revival and it's not going to bring it. I've been in some churches, I wish they'd try something different. 20 years, not a single convert, ain't had revival yet. I think I'd go back to the drawing board a little bit. Amen. I think I'd go back to square one and say, hold up, something ain't right here. We've got to figure out what's wrong. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if we've had revival in a church, I don't know, I hadn't even know the whole history here. If you had a move of God at one time and you're not having it in your life now, go back and say, what went wrong? Where? Amen. There's been times in my life I've noticed something. I noticed a diminishing. And guess what? When I get down to pray, I say, Lord, didn't feel the anointing like I used to. This season of life has been different. I go back, and every time I ever go back in my life, I'm not talking about sinful things. Every time I go back in my life and I look, if there was something sinful, the Holy Ghost will instantly show it. But if there's something that I begin to operate in my own self, the Holy Ghost will instantly show it. Do you know a killer to revival is not just sin? That's in holiness churches, we think sin is everything. Oh, sin! 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 That's easy to identify. I'll tell you the bigger enemy is self. 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 Self-preference. Self-ideas. Self. Self. And self. It's an enemy of the church. Charles Spurgeon went to hear a very prominent young preacher preach one time. He went to hear this young preacher who was blowing up the coast preaching. When I say about that, he was seeing converts. And Charles Spurgeon went and sat in the service. And that young preacher was preaching on the whole armor of God. He said he was such an eloquent young man. He said when that young man would preach, he says, almost like I could hear the armor clank together. He said, almost like I could hear the soldier unsheathe his sword. He said, I felt so victorious. He said, I heard that young minister stand there in a slight tinge of pride that he probably didn't even notice. And the excitement says, where's the enemy now, church? Where's he at now? Charles Spurgeon leaned over to his neighbor. He said, I know where the enemy is. He's in the armor. He's in the armor. Brothers and sisters, we have this tendency to think when we get saved, we're forgiven of our sins, but we tend to think that our self is just as acceptable. Guess what? Your self-will is just as disgusting to God as your sins were. Because it's self. It's driven. And when we come to this crucified life, this cross-driven life, this cross-bearing life, what revival is saying, Lord, any substitute in my life, if it's self, whatever it is, guess what? I want to get it out the way. What is the it in your life that's keeping us from revival? An old man of God by the name of A.B. Simpson put it well. I'm just going to read it to you because you won't think that it just is. This is what he wrote years ago. He wrote this. He said, I wish to speak to you about Jesus and Jesus only. I often hear people say, I wish I could get hold of divine healing. but I cannot. Sometimes they say, I have got it. If I ask them, what have you got? The answer is sometimes, I have got the blessing. I have got a blessing. Sometimes it is. I have got a theory. Sometimes it is. I have got a healing. Sometimes it is. I have got the sanctification. Sometimes it is. But I thank God, we have been told it's not the blessing. It's not the healing. It's not the sanctification. It's not the thing. It's not that. It's not what you want. But it's something better. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. That's what's so important in it all. It's Christ and Christ alone. He continued, plenty of people get the idea and do not get anything out of it. They get it into their head and into their conscience and into their will, but somehow they do not get it into their life and spirit because they have only that which is their outward expression and a symbol of spirituality, but they never lay hold of God. Amen. What he was saying is this. We've got to reach high for a greater Christian experience above any personal preference, above it all. My desire, what brings revival, is a desire for God. You said, Brother Derek, what about everything else? A desire for God will work everything else out. Amen. It's only 12:08, church. I hadn't killed it yet. We still have a little time. So my wife gets ready to go to the piano. If you would stand to your feet all over this building. It was A.B. Simpson that said this. Notice this. It was A.B. Simpson that wrote this wonderful hymn. He said, once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the filling, now it is His Word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver I desire. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all forever, Jesus will I sing. Everything in Jesus, and Jesus is everything. That is what revival is. It's when Jesus